David Hawkins is the senior editor at CQ and Roll Call and author of Hawkins Here, blog and column. He's covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. Hey, David, when they call you the senior editor, does that mean you're old or that you have clout?
I think when they gave me that title, I thought it was going to be the latter one, but now I think it's just the former one.
Interesting, interesting. Now we're looking at the leadership of both houses. We have a speaker on his way out, and we have Schumer in the Senate in this on the Democratic side, who's not getting very high marks for his leadership. Then you got the Republicans. What do you make of it?
Well, I think yes, the big parlor game. Most of the leadership parlor gaming is on the House side at the moment. Yes, as you just pointed out, Paul Ryan has announced that he is not running for re-election, but he wants to hang on as Speaker until the end of the year. That actually hasn't happened. A Speaker of the House, just plain old, not running for re-election and leaving Congress on his own terms, that hasn't happened since 1986, since Tip O'Neill. So it's been a long time since a Speaker of the House tried to do this, and he's having a hard time hanging on to power, even through his lame duck months. There are some Republicans that want to pick a different leader even before Paul Ryan leaves. They think that he's, you know, is ineffectual. They think that he's, you know, not hardline enough. And there is some talk of forcing him out. Seems kind of late, yeah. Why they would want to do that and go through all the hoi polloi of picking a new Republican leader who would have to unify almost the entire Republican caucus, because to get elected Speaker, you have to have an absolute majority of the entire House. So every Democrat would vote for Nancy Pelosi, and then you'd have to have only a couple of dozen, 23, I guess it would be. All but 20-some-odd Republicans would have to vote for their candidate, otherwise that guy couldn't get elected Speaker, that person.
Or dog catcher.
Or dog catcher.
So what is the likelihood that this fractured group of Republicans can come together? I take it Donald Trump might play his hand.
Well, Donald Trump apparently wanted to anoint Paul Ryan's number two, Congressman Kevin McCarthy of California, to step up right after Ryan announced that he was retiring, and Trump was persuaded not to do that. In part because Kevin McCarthy didn't have the votes wrapped up to get the job. Nobody has the votes wrapped up to get the job. Not Kevin McCarthy, not the number three guy in the leadership, Steve Scalise, the Republican whip, the guy who sort of got national renown for surviving the baseball game shooting a couple of years ago, last year. So nobody's got the votes to win. So, and some would say it's sort of an ungovernable problem. Now, if they're in the minority, totally different set of dynamics, sure. Because you don't need a plurality candidate could be elected minority leader. So a factional guy like a Freedom Caucus guy, this guy Jim Jordan from Ohio, for example, or Mark Meadows, leaders of the Freedom Caucus, might have a much better shot if they're in the minority.
Now, that Freedom Caucus, as long as you've referenced it, it has tremendous power these days, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because it can the Republicans, the Democrats won't vote for anything that the Republican leadership wants to do. And so that means the Republican leadership has to pass everything that it wants to get done with entirely Republican votes, and they've only got 23 votes to spare. So, and the Freedom Caucus numbers more than 23. So if they withhold their support for something, the House can't pass it. And this is what happened with the Farm Bill, to circle back to what we were talking about when we visited a couple of days ago. This is exactly what happened on the Farm Bill, is that the Freedom Caucus guys just withheld their votes and said, we're not voting for that Farm Bill until you promise us a conservative, pro-Trump, hardline immigration vote. And so the Farm Bill had to be delayed.
So how's Chuck Schumer doing in the Senate?
In the Senate, I think, you know, Chuck Schumer is in a Chuck Schumer does not have the tools that other minority leaders used to have, which is to say that the filibuster has been taken away on all nominations. So he's got a tougher road to hoe as the minority leader. He's got 49 votes. He's got of those 49 Democrats that are his that are his team. 10 of them are running for re-election in Trump states. 5 of those 10 are running for re-election in Trump by more than 20 percentage point states. So Chuck Schumer wants to play a long game, which he does, he's a strategically sophisticated guy, and he can play a long game. He needs to let some of the folks on his team cast votes that he wouldn't ever cast, but that might make constituents back in Montana or Missouri or Florida or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania a little bit satisfied.
There are those people who think that he's a little too close to the president on some of the president's foreign policy initiatives. What are you making of that?
I've heard that complaint. I think Schumer wants to. I mean, I think Schumer does. He, as I say, plays a long game. He expects that Donald Trump is going to be president, you know, for at least another 2 years. And he wants to do whatever he does not want to be seen. Schumer does not as somebody who is just reflexively whatever Trump's for, I'm against it, to quote the old Groucho Marx song. He wants to be seen as somebody who's, you know, and willing to take each issue on the merits and not just denigrate Trump at every turn. So it seems like foreign policy is the place where that happens most easily for Schumer.
I'm getting some mail that says, I'm Jewish, I should point that out, of course, that Schumer is such an ally of Israel that he has to side with Trump on some of the things like moving the embassy and other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, the moving the embassy, I believe, was wasn't it like a 99-0 vote when they voted last year to, right. because when Trump ran on moving the embassy. And then when his first turn came to do it, because it had to be, the decision to not move it had to be revived every 6 months, as I recall. And Trump didn't pull the trigger on moving the embassy the first chance he got. And at that point, the Senate, I think it was 99-0, voted to tell Trump, we expect you to live up to your campaign promise. So I'm going to have to look this up after we're off the air, but I think it was a rare case of the entire Senate lining up to tell Trump that they agreed with his campaign pledge.
Now, we've got 2 minutes. Tell me about Mitch McConnell. You know, there probably isn't a more despised man among the Democrats in this country. He was out front really giving Obama a hard time. What do you think? Is his position secure?
Gosh, I thought you were going to say there's probably not a more despised person among Donald Trump voters, and that might also be true. I will never forget it being at the Republican convention in Cleveland where Trump got nominated, and the boos that rained down on Mitch McConnell when he spoke were unique at that convention. The Trump voters perceive Mitch McConnell or at least did as emblematic of sort of the insidery, swampy, old way of doing business that they disdained. And now McConnell has spent the last 2 years trying to persuade Trump voters that that's not him, that he has Trump's back. You know, of course, it was Mitch McConnell's brilliant, some might call it evil, but at least brilliant decision to hold the Supreme Court seat open until after the election, which allowed Trump to put Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. That alone has won plenty of Republicans over. I think Mitch McConnell's job is safe so long as they stay in the majority. It's a much longer odds than on the House side, but there is still a chance that the voters will create a narrowly Democratic Senate, make Chuck Schumer the majority leader. At that point, whether Mitch McConnell wants to stick around and be the minority leader or hand the baton off to somebody else, I think is an open question. He's about to set the record for the longest-serving Republican leader ever, following Bob Dole, who had the job for, I think, 12 years.
We're about to see an election, and it'll be fascinating to watch David Hawkins, what happens here. But I only have a half a second, but do the Democrats really have a chance of taking the Senate?
They do. They are looking like they have a good chance of taking two Republican seats away in Nevada and in Arizona, and they look at the moment like they have a not unreasonable chance of holding all of the seats that we talked about a few minutes ago. The all of these solidly Trump states, there is a path for them to hold on to all of them. West Virginia, for example. Some listeners may have paid attention to West Virginia because the guy who ran the mine and went to jail for running for as president of the mine company where there's a big explosion, ran for the Republican nomination, lost, and is now going to run as an independent, improving significantly the chances that a Democrat, Joe Manchin, could win re-election in a state that went for Trump by, I think, better than 2-1. So, there's a chance that the Democrats could hold all of their seats and pick up a couple more.
That would be very bad for the president of the United States. In any case, it's Congressional Corner with David Hawkins, who is the senior editor of CQ and Roll Call and author of Hawkins Here, blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. David, I could talk to you for another hour, and we so appreciate your being with us.
Me too, thanks. It's always a pleasure.